Then Gargi Vachaknavi said, Venerable Brahmana, I shall ask him two more questions. If he will answer them, none of you, I think, will defeat him in any argument concerning Brahman. Yajnavalkya said, Ask, O Gargi. She said, O Yajnavalkya, as the son of a warrior might string his loosened bow, take two pointed four-piercing arrows in his hand and rise in battle. I have risen to fight thee with two questions. Answer me these questions. Yajnavalkya said, Ask, O Gargi. She said, O Yajnavalkya, that of which they say that it is above the heavens, beneath the earth, embracing heaven and earth, past, present, and future. Tell me in what it is woven, like warp and woof. Yajnavalkya said, That of which they say that is above the heavens, beneath the earth, embracing heaven and earth, past, present, and future. That is woven like warp and woof in the space. She said, I bow to thee, O Yajnavalkya, who has solved this question for me. Get thee ready for the second. Yajnavalkya said, Ask, O Gargi. She said, O Yajnavalkya, that of which they say that it is above the heavens, beneath the earth, embracing heaven and earth, past, present, and future. Tell me, in what is it woven, like warp and woof? Yajnavalkya said, That of which they say that it is above the heavens, beneath the earth, embracing heaven and earth, past, present, and future. That is woven, like warp and woof, in space. Gargi said, In what then is the space woven, like warp and woof? He said, O Gargi, the Brahmanas call this the Akshara, the imperishable. It is neither coarse nor fine, neither short nor long, neither red like fire, nor fluid like water. It is without shadow, without darkness, without air, without space, without attachment, without taste, without smell, without eyes, without ears, without speech, without mind, without light, without breath, without mouth, without measure, having no within and no without. It devours nothing, and no one devours it. By the command of that Akshara, the imperishable, O Gargi, sun and moon stand apart. By the command of that Akshara, O Gargi, heaven and earth stand apart. By the command of that Akshara, O Gargi, what are called moments, Nimesh, hours, Muhurta, days and nights, half months, months, seasons, years, all stand apart. By the command of that Akshara, O Gargi, some rivers flow to the east from the White Mountains, others to the west, or to any other quarter. By the command of that Akshara, O Gargi, men follow the givers, the devas follow the sacrificer, the manes, the rites for the dead. Whosoever, O Gargi, without knowing that Akshara, the imperishable, offers oblations in this world, performs sacrifices and observes austerities even for 1,000 years, his work will have an end. Whosoever, O Gargi, without knowing this Akshara, departs from this world, will be miserable like a slave. But he, O Gargi, who departs from this world knowing this Akshara, he is a Brahmana, the knower of Brahman. That Brahman, O Gargi, is unseen but seeing, unheard but hearing, unperceived but perceiving, unknown but knowing. There is nothing that sees but it, nothing that hears but it, nothing that perceives but it, nothing that knows but it. In that Akshara then, O Gargi, the space is woven, like warp and woof. Then said Gargi, Venerable Brahmanas, you may consider it a great thing if you get off by bowing before him. No one, I believe, will defeat him in any argument concerning Brahman. After that, Gargi Vachanavi held her peace. Then, Vidagdha Shakalya asked him, How many devas are there, O Yajnavalkya? He replied, As many as are mentioned in the Nivid of the hymn of praise addressed to the deities of the universe, that is, 300, 3 and 3,000. Yes, he said, and asked again, How many devas are there really, O Yajnavalkya? 33, he said. Yes, he said, and asked again, How many devas are there really, O Yajnavalkya? 6, he said. Yes, he said, and asked again, How many devas are there really, O Yajnavalkya? 3, he said. Yes, he said, and asked again, How many devas are there really, O Yajnavalkya? 2, he said. Yes, he said, and asked again, How many devas are there really, O Yajnavalkya? 1.5, he said. Yes, he said, and asked again, How many devas are there really, O Yajnavalkya? 1, he said. Yes, he said, and asked, Who are these 300, 3 and 3,000? Yajnavalkya replied, They are only the various powers of them. In reality, there are only 33 devas. He asked, Who are those 33? Yajnavalkya replied, The 8 Vasus, the 11 Rudras, the 12 Adityas. They make 31, and Indra and Prajapati make the 33. He asked, Who are the Vasus? Yajnavalkya replied, Agni, fire, Prithvi, earth, Vayu, air, Antariksh, sky, Aditya, sun, dew, heaven, Chandrama, moon, the nakshatras, stars, these are the Vasus. For in them all that dwells in this world rests, and therefore they are called Vasus. He asked, Who are the Rudras? Yajnavalkya replied, These 10 vital breaths, pranas, the senses, that is, the 5 jnanendriyas, organs of perception, and the 5 karmendriyas, organs of action, and Atman, self, as the 11th. When they depart from this mortal body, they make men weep, Rudayanti, and because they make men weep, they are called Rudras. He asked, Who are the Adityas? Yajnavalkya replied, The 12 months of the year are the Adityas, because they move along Yanti, taking hold of everything, Adadana, because they move along taking hold of everything, therefore they are called Adityas. He asked, And who is Indra? And who is Prajapati? Yajnavalkya replied, Indra is thunder. Prajapati is the sacrifice. He asked, And what is the thunder? Yajnavalkya replied, the thunderbolt. He asked, "And what is the sacrifice?" Yajnavalkya replied, "The sacrificial animals." He asked, "Who are the six?" Yajnavalkya replied, "Fire, earth, air, sky, sun, and heaven. These are the six. These are everything." He asked, "Who are the three devas?" Yajnavalkya replied, "These three worlds, for in them exist all these devas." He asked, "Who are the two devas?" Yajnavalkya replied, "Food and breath." He asked, "Who is the one deva and a half?" Yajnavalkya replied, "He that blows, wind." Here they say, "How is it that he who blows like one only should be called one and a half?" Because when the wind was blowing, everything grew to maturity. He asked, "Who is the one deva?" Yajnavalkya replied, "Breath, prana, and he is Brahman, and they call him that, Tyat." Shakalya said, "Whosoever knows that person or deva whose dwelling body is the earth, whose sight world is fire, whose mind is light, and who is the goal of every self, he indeed is a teacher, O Yajnavalkya." Yajnavalkya said, "I know that person, the principle of every self of whom thou speakest. This corporeal, material, earthy person, he is he. But tell me, Shakalya, who is his devata, deity?" Shakalya replied, "The immortal." Shakalya said, "And in what dost thou, thy body, and thyself abide?" Yajnavalkya said, "In the prana, breath." Shakalya said, "In what does the prana abide?" Yajnavalkya said, "In the apana, down breathing." Shakalya said, "In what does the apana abide?" Yajnavalkya said, "In the vyana, back breathing." Shakalya said, "In what does the vyana abide?" Yajnavalkya said, "In the udana, the out breathing." Shakalya said, "In what does the udana abide?" Yajnavalkya said, "In the samana, breath of concentration. That self is the one that is described as not this, not this. It is incomprehensible, for it cannot be comprehended. It is imperishable, for it cannot perish. It is unattached, for it does not attach itself. It is unfettered. It does not suffer. It does not feel. These are the eight abodes, the earth and so on. The eight worlds, fire and so on. The eight devas, the immortal food and so on. The eight persons, the corporeal and so on. He who after separating and uniting these persons goes beyond them, that is the person taught in the Upanishad. About him I now ask thee. If thou shalt not explain this to me, thy head will fall." Shakalya did not know about him, and his head fell away. Nay, thieves took his bones, mistaking them for something else. Then Yajnavalkya said, "Reverend Brahmana, whosoever among you desires to do so may now question me. Or question me, all of you. Or whosoever among you desires it, I shall question him. Or I shall question all of you." But those Brahmanas dared not say anything. Then Yajnavalkya addressed them with these verses. "As a mighty tree in the forest, so in truth is man. His hairs are the leaves. His outer skin is the bark. From his skin flows forth blood, sap from the skin of the tree. And thus, from the wounded man comes forth blood, as sap from a tree that is struck. The lumps of his flesh are in the tree, the layers of wood. The fiber is strong like the tendons. The bones are the hard wood within. The marrow is made like the marrow of the tree. But while the tree, when felled, grows up again more young from the root, from what root, tell me, does a mortal grow up after he has been felled by death? Do not say, from seed, for seed is produced from the living, but a tree springing from a grain clearly rises again after death. If a tree is pulled up with the root, it will not grow again. From what root, then, tell me, does a mortal grow up after he has been felled by death? Once born, he is not born again. For who should create him again? The Upanishad states, it is Brahman. He is knowledge and bliss. He is the ultimate as source and as end of all. He is availed of by who gives away his wealth, and also him who stands firm in his knowledge.